Let us open together again in James chapter 1. And for a text this morning, we might take just a few words as a way in, a few words at the beginning of verse 26. If anyone among you thinks he is religious, and so on. Religion is something of a dirty word these days. Even we might not like to use it. I confess, much of the time I am hesitant to use it myself. It seems to speak of more of rituals and ceremonies and church activity, but with a shortage of what you might call living faith. There are others, of course, from a very different vantage point, who credit religion with all the ills of this world, violence and oppression and so on. But when the Bible uses this word, it means we need to dig into it more, and we ought not to avoid using it, but to dig into it more, to learn to use it well, to advance its merits. There are those who despise the word and all that it seems to draw up in their minds. But it has merits. It's here in the Bible. Let's be clear on it in our own minds and hearts. Let it be clear in the minds and hearts of the church, and so also through the world. In this very verse, James does tell us that there is such a thing as useless religion at the end of verse 26. But by implication, that means that there must be such a thing as useful religion. He then goes on in verse 27 to talk about pure and undefiled religion. So there is something that is good, or potentially there is something good about religion. And that's perhaps what concerns us, this, that there is such a thing as pure religion, if only it was used properly. It should be a good word. We should be able to find real religion, pure religion, not impure, not mixed up with all sorts of other stuff, especially man's ideas. Well, what else is there? And isn't that what it comes down to? There is a quotation on the sheet in one place. Philip Jensen, he says, he's the dean of the Sydney Cathedral in Australia, and he says, an evangelical is not one who professes belief in the Bible as the Word of God, but one who, without twisting it, lives by what it says. That's James. Not just to hear, not just to say I believe, but to do what the Bible says. And that is where we must all be extremely careful. It is so easy to twist the Word of God. And all it means is even this, a half twist. That's a twist. To suit ourselves. To make it mean what I want it to mean. I, you, any person, it's man's idea. As soon as it's mixed, it's no longer pure. Let us seek to learn from the Spirit who knows the mind of God and tells us through James what the mind of God is. There is such a thing as pure, undefiled religion. If any of you thinks you are religious, what does it mean? Well, I would say, first of all, that religion means hearing the word. Religion also means doing the word. Religion means blessing. And religion is useful. These things primarily this morning. And perhaps I should say that, as I mentioned, that I would hope to go through this letter relatively quickly. There is a vast wealth of material here, and we could take years going through it and still not reach the bottom. But I'm proposed to go through it very quickly, an outline of the letter in due course over a few weeks. And some of the things that are spoken of in this chapter are things that James returns to in different ways as he goes on through further in the letter. And so we will be touching back on them, making reference back to them. But this morning, what I think is you might say, at the heart of what he is concerned about as he writes this epistle, is this religion. And he says, tells us, first of all, that religion means hearing the word, God's word. In verse 26, he uses the word religious, he uses the word religion, but he says that all rests, whether it is pure religion or not, it rests on whether you deceive yourself. And self-deceit has been his concern. At least he explains it as his concern from verse 22 onwards. In verse 22 he says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. In other words, if you hear the word but you don't follow it through, you don't do it, you don't put it into action, you're self-deceiving. It's you saying, I believe in the Bible, but you're not following it through. You're not believing, not truly believing. Don't we learn that even the devils believe in Jesus, that he is the Son of God, but they don't believe because they don't follow it through. They don't follow through the implications of it. And so too you have it here. You can say you believe in the Bible, you can say you believe in that it is the Word of God, but if you don't live it as the Word of God, who knows? If it truly is the Word of God, then is he not supreme in your life? Do you not live out according to that word? That's what James is talking about. Otherwise, you're deceiving yourself. Now, often enough, as I hear people speak of such verses as these, there's also where Jesus talks about somebody hearing his word and doing it is like the wise man who builds on the rock in Matthew chapter 7. Often enough, I've heard the emphasis being on doing the word. And that's very good so far. That's the way it should be. But we need to be following it through. But first of all, recognize where James does start. He urges the doing as something to be, as it were, added to something that should already be there. And that is the hearing of the word. That's an assumption, as it were, in his argument. But we cannot afford to just make assumptions. We must state those assumptions repeatedly to make sure that they're very clear in our thinking. In verse 23 he says, if anyone is a hearer of the word, the condition is actually relating to hearing and not doing. But it does raise the question, if you're a hearer, hearing is that essential starting point. You cannot do unless you've heard. You can't put together IKEA shelves unless you've actually read something of the instructions or followed the pictures. Hearing the word is the essential starting point, and let's never forget that. So put yourself in the places where you will hear the word of God, yourself, privately, individually. Read it. Read material about it. Books, good books. Yes, these days, all the more with the material that's online, good sermons and so on. Do it personally. Family reading and preaching, I venture. Yes, preaching in the family. Teaching. The explanation of the word. Church reading and preaching. You cannot live according to God's will if you're not hearing the word, and church is a vitally important part of that. But of course, more even than that, it's not just about hearing with these things on the outside of your head. Isaiah the prophet had a dreadful task. 60 years he was to preach God's word so that the people would not hear. They would hear the words, but it was precisely at that point that God purposed that that would just harden their hearts. Isaiah chapter 6. The church in Revelation were reminded, every one of them, but he who has ears to hear, which man is without ears to hear? Very few. Then let him hear. It's the additional weight of this word, that listening, that receiving of the word through those ears. Hear what the Spirit says to the churches. It's the Spirit of God himself who is speaking. Ought you not to hear? I was thinking about it on Friday. Our local newspaper comes out, and there was a big picture on the front of one of the leading characters in the town who had been awarded a knighthood in the New Year's Honours list. And it did cross my mind. I thought, I wonder if he's going to go to Buckingham Palace. Does everybody go? Maybe they do. But he's going to get an invitation, a summons, as it were. Is he going to listen to that? You know, he listens by him following it through in so many other ways. But this is God who speaks. Does he not have the greatest authority of all? Will you follow through? Will you hear? Will you stop and listen? And listen to what he actually says, not what you think he says. How often have you spoken to someone and said, but no, that's not what I said? Immediately there's a shift of words and a reorganization of sentences, and it comes out so different. How often we do that with God, and we twist. Let's exercise the discipline of ensuring that we take the word as it stands, hearing what the Spirit says to the church. I want to take you back just a moment. The very beginning, James introduces this letter, and he speaks of himself, as we read, as a bond servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. This James was one of the, we'll say, brothers of Jesus. He was a son of Mary and Joseph. This James was. He was not one of the original 12 disciples. He was the brother. And very quickly he took a lead in the church after the resurrection and the ascension of Christ. But it leaves me wondering as I read this. He doesn't call himself a brother. He doesn't put that to the fore. He says, I'm a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, my brother. But it leaves me wondering how often this James was within earshot of all that Jesus taught, all the things that Jesus had been saying. How many of those things did James actually hear? And I suspect he probably heard a great many. You read in the Gospels of the way that the brothers and his even his mother, how they struggled with what Jesus was doing. They knew what was going on. They knew the things he was teaching. And it actually tells us in John chapter 7, one of the things that the brothers said to him, James included, was to go to Jerusalem so that he could reveal himself. And John's comment was, even his brothers did not believe in him. So they'd been hearing something at least. And then when you read the things that James is concerned about, be doers of the word, not hearers only. Perhaps he did hear Matthew chapter 7, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus said exactly that. There are the amazing verses in three of the Gospels tell this story. Luke's version tells us, Luke chapter 8, from verse 19, his mother and brothers came to him and could not approach him because of the crowd. And it was told him by some who said, your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you. But he answered and said to them, my mother and my brothers are these who hear the word of God and do it. And by implication, his brothers, who wanted him out of that house, were not doing that. James included. Now James says, this is real religion. to hear and to do. Yes, for all that they might have heard with their ears, and the words had floated in there somewhere. They'd not sunk, they'd not settled down, they'd not taken root to work through into the doing in James's life. But he brings it forth with great strength as he now writes to the church. First things first, hear the word, listen to it, take it in, soak it up. Have hearing ears. That is essential to true, to vital, to living faith and religion. And if we truly did hear what God said as God says it, would there have been such a need for all those apologies through the years for the failure the church has perpetrated in this world? How we've so often had to apologize for things done throughout the centuries. Because truly hearing, this is part of it, is to say now you need to do as well. Religion does mean doing the word. Again, not the ideas mixed, man's ideas mixed in with it, not the twist of the word, but the word itself. This is what it means to come and to bow ourselves. It's an act of worship to hear God's word, that he's the one who tells us the way of our lives. It's humbling ourselves to hear. And that should then lead to the doing of that very same word. The word of God should compel obedience if we see it rightly. It's a word of immeasurable mercies in Christ Jesus. And to obey can be the only possible response to this loving God. But having heard it, prove that you've heard it by doing it. How does anyone know otherwise? If you do hear, you will understand that the word of God is life itself. Deuteronomy chapter 8, Jesus quoted it to strengthen him against the temptations of the evil one. You're not lived by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. That's life. Hear it. If you do hear, you will find the way of life in God's word. The word that became flesh, who came to give life and give it more abundantly. The way of life. If you do hear, you will know that here is the one all-loving God who did send his Son to give you his righteousness. That you must have if you're to come to God. All of these things will stir up a desire as you hear them, as you learn them, as you know them, that desire to do whatever he asks from you. If you hear, you will do. That's the right application of what you have heard. And the word of God is full of doing and living. James's letter itself, just 5 chapters, it's packed with living stuff, and it's the word of God. The first doing, even being the works of God, as Jesus answered in John chapter 6, which is believing on the one whom he sent, and all that follows from that. Friends, religion means doing the word of God, not the other stuff, not the twisted word of God. This is not the ideas of mere men. Not just your ideas, not just her ideas, not his ideas, not the kids' ideas. There's a lot of things that you and I might think, well, that could be different, or I prefer it this way or that way. But what does the Word of God say? That is the rule. Because it's the rule of life. It's the perfect law of liberty, freedom, James says in verse 25. Religion is not about those rituals. It's not about some vague spirituality or some indefinable thing that comes to the mind from elsewhere. Religion is to be found in the Word of God and hearing it, living it out. Religion is about a man meeting with his God, walking with his God, dealing with his God. It's about walking humbly with his God. How is a creature, which we are, how are we to know the way to walk with God? Except by listening. How are we to accompany our God? And if that's not what you're about in life, where are you going? Is that not the great object? Should it not be the great object in life? How will you know? There is a way you can know how to live, how to do, just by hearing what Paul tells us, that there is one who knows the mind of God. It is the Spirit of God, and the Spirit has spoken, again the apostles tell us, again through his word, the written scriptures. That's where you will find the mind of God. We have the mind of Christ, Paul went on to say. And the Spirit speaks through what he has caused James and many others to record. This is the way to live. This is life, the Word of God. You can take the various things that James deals with in this very chapter. When times get tough, how are you going to respond? It is such a big part of living. He treats, again, this is an assumption, things will be difficult for everyone. And the Bible has something to say about that. It tells us, look at it differently. Look at it with the eyes of faith. And I would hope to turn to that for a little more detailed attention this evening. Further on, he talks about the rich and the poor. How do you think about money, whether you have it or you don't? God gives you a way. Do you think this way? If not, why not? What about the problem of sin and evil in this world? You're tempted. But he says in verse 13, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. That's your direction. He gives some reasons why. That's where our mind should be thinking. It's a question that many people ask today. There are many who know their theology to some degree, a little bit of it. But if you only know a bit, you don't know the whole truth. It is twisted. You know your theology, people say, well, you say that God ordains everything. Well, therefore, sin is his responsibility. James says, no way. God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. Yes, it can be difficult at times for us to get our minds through all the different parts. But this is the truth, and this is the way we must think. This is the direction for the way that we live. And so there are, even just in these few verses of this chapter, there are examples of how we are to hear this word and to live according to it. As I say, I anticipate that some of these things will be brought out in more detail as we go on through studying this letter. And so, religion means hearing the Word of God. Religion means doing the Word of God. And in just a few moments, I want to remind you too that religion means blessing. What we've been working towards is a recognition of true religion, the pure religion. That's what we have in mind now, as you go on through to the end of verse 25. When he is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. I think this is what Paul calls godliness when he writes to Timothy. And he says this godliness is profitable for all things, useful, blessing. But it is, again, as he wrote the second time to Timothy, it is the power of godliness, not just the form of it. Not just the outside religion, not just the deceiving religion, deceiving even yourself. James, through his letter, gives a range of examples of this as well, the blessings. Take one that I didn't mention in the previous, on the previous heading, in verses 19 and 20. How you speak, how you listen. If you go about things wisely, if you're busy about hearing, less about what you have to say, you will learn something, which will be a blessing. You will advance, you will grow, all the more when it comes to the Word of God and how we handle it. And there's a great deal more he has to say about this as he goes on through his letter as well. But there are so many ways in which blessing comes through doing the Word of God. Yes, to the eyes of the world it will not seem like that. You will be persecuted. You may suffer for your faith. You'll be laughed at. Again, the Sermon on the Mount, as we call it, Matthew chapter 5, those are the very things that bring blessing from God himself. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are you if men persecute you and revile you for my name's sake, and so on. That is the root of blessing, by holding on to God as he reveals himself, doing what you hear, hearing the fullness of God's word that brings blessing to life, even through the hard things, and perhaps especially, as James has to put it in the beginning of this chapter, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. You will be tested, but it's because you know that the testing of your faith produces patience. Let patience have its perfect work. That's the route to perfection, the route to completeness, to wholeness, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. It's going through those difficult things, but with the right mindset, the right response to God, joy, because God has seen fit to work his blessing in this way. Paul, for example, he speaks about how he rejoices in sharing the sufferings of Christ Jesus, because, as in Romans 8, he says, that is what is also going to lead to sharing in his glory, an eternal blessing. This is the blessedness of living in the freedom, may not be the freedom that this world looks for or thinks is enough, but it's the freedom, this perfect law of liberty. This is the way of truth and of abundant life, eternal life. Religion means blessing. Religion also, I would like to point, is useful. Profitable, godliness is profitable for all things I've mentioned. That blessing is one of the very useful products of true religion. If not, if it's not this way, if it's not true religion, then you are two people. One is pretending to be religious, the other, the inner man, is not really bothered with it. That's where the living comes from. But when this religion doesn't come to the fore, all the good that the Spirit of Christ seeks to teach, does teach in his word, it's all empty, it's meaningless, useless. You think you're religious, but you're not careful with your tongue, you're deceiving your own heart. Notice the tongue again. It's your profession. If you're throwing out a profession, I believe, but that belief is not working through, you're deceiving your own heart. And your religion is useless. It is an emptiness. And it's even worse than that as a result. If you think you have something and you don't, you're deluded. You're heading completely the wrong way. It's a disaster. There are only two ways. What comes to mind is how we've been told that £75 billion has just been as it were, leaked into the economy, into the British economy, or it is being leaked out. Have you seen any of it? Who will? for the majority of people in their day-to-day living and day-to-day stretching of their budgets, it's useless. We're told it's there, £75 billion, but it's useless. Is your religion any better to you or to anyone? True active religion, pure undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, in verse 27, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself, yourself, unspotted from the world. True religion brings blessing. True religion is useful to you as well because it preserves you in the faith that will bring you into the presence of God. Unspotted from the world, only then can you be in the presence of God. Only if you follow through, do what you hear what the Spirit says. Isn't that useful to you? It's also the way, I believe, that God has chosen that is useful to him. It's by bringing an unspotted people to himself that he brings great glory to himself. What an honor to be useful to God. But true religion is also useful to others. It's this, by definition, pure, clean, undefiled, unmixed religion is to visit orphans and widows, those that are unnoticed by the world, noticed by God and by his people. Plenty of folk will devote themselves, they'll bow the knee before the powerful, the wise, the notable of this world, those who have. Christ gave himself for the have-nots, for you, for me. And that's the way he would seek for us to follow through. Religion will change the usual. It was those who followed the faith of Christ to the very end, even to death, who were turning the world upside down in Acts. Change from the usual of this world to conform instead to those norms that are set by the Lord. That's what he taught, what the Lord himself taught. And James is following it through. He says, hear those things. They're radically different from the root up. But do them too. Paul says in Romans chapter 12, look back on the mercies of God in Christ Jesus, and because of that, do not be conformed to this world. It twists the word of God. Don't do it. But be transformed. You be changed by the renewing of your minds because you have soaked up that word. Only then will your life be changed. And then you will be able to show out the good, perfect, acceptable will of God. Minds renewed by the things heard, absorbed, practiced. You're not just going to school to learn a subject that you can pass an exam on and forget about it. It's for your daily life, for mine. There is only one other daily life, and that's one that's away from God. We've got to get this clear, folk. It is that extreme. It is that cut and dried. It's only in the Word of God that we will see a way that honors God. And today, you and I, amidst everything that might be surplus, we've heard a little more of the Word of God. So let no one be like this man in verse 23-24 who observes himself in his face in a mirror and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. As we go to our drinks and our Sunday school and our tea and coffee, and as we go our home, are we going to forget? Or are we going to put ourselves in the light of this and say, yeah, there are things I need to sort out. God help me. Be not a hearer of the word only. Be a doer as well. That is the lively outlook on religion. The world needs this lively outlook. it does place, as we look at James, it places high demands on us. There are sharp definitions. Let not the word of God be mixed up and twisted. Because only this way brings the highest rewards. Not a knighthood, though I honor that man, but a higher still. Pure, undefiled religion before God and the Father. That he looks on it and he finds it acceptable. And if the world's view on religion, word religion, actual religion is to change, so too should our practice of religion. That's what James is calling for. To demonstrate that it is the way of blessing. He who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. I pray that blessing on you. Let us pray for that blessing on each other. Let us pray for that blessing on the church. Let's pray for that blessing even on the world in which we live. Desperately needs it. May he bless his word to us today. Let us pray together.